Greetings and welcome to another exciting episode of Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans, coming to you live from picturesque Prospect Heights, Brooklyn, episode 52, Nothing Wrong with a Little Head. Joining me tonight, the lovely and talented
Taryn Lopez.
And the not so lovely but equally as talented
Mark Abbott.
All right, yes.
Oh, you're beautiful, Mark.
In his own.
In his own special way. We're all beautiful.
For those of you that have seen the movie Hereditary, you might get the joke. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you're about to really get it right now. Spoilers. Oh, God.
Lots of spoilers.
So, if you have tickets for Hereditary for tomorrow... you know, maybe the
Stop
five of you might
want
to reconsider what you're about to do here, but otherwise, we're getting into this right now.
Yep.
Hereditary, rated R in theaters now, is a horror movie, basically. That just happened, 2 hours of your life.
Is it, though? Is it a horror movie?
Well...
I questioned that already.
Well, let's dive in. What you got?
I fell for the hype. That was the problem here. I fell for the hype because there was a pretty nasty hype machine going around. I'm guessing because of just the star power of this movie because,
Toni Collette.
Toni Collette. And you had,
Gabriel Byrne,
but plays her husband. So, I mean, you had some star power going in this movie and I fell for it. And I thought it was going to be like some, like, really like, not zany, but a horror movie that actually scared me.
Okay.
And, or just like a thought-provoking horror movie. And what I got was something that, A, in the first scene, literally, I predicted the end. And I was right. And that annoyed the shit out of me. I hate that. And it wasn't even like I'm that clever. I'm not that clever.
Mm-hmm.
But I could predict the ending. And afterwards, I mean, there were a few scenes that were like, oh my God, this was fantastically done.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, I mean, it was really just a slow-paced movie. And it really didn't scare. And the whole payoff at the end, when things actually do get ramped up, I just felt like it just kind of left you wanting a lot more. So
okay.
I just didn't feel like it was a very horrific horror movie. Sorry.
Not a horrific horror movie. Mark, your thoughts.
I'm kind of in the same boat as Taryn with this. Because one of the things I think needs to stop is modern day horror films being compared to classics.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
One of the things, you know, after a while you learn, you know, it's like when they say it's the Star Wars of action movies. Okay. But, you know, I remember at seeing one point somebody said it's the modern day Exorcist.
About Hereditary?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And I thought about...
Well, what would that be based on?
In the same vein of the same sense that it's a slow burn.
Yeah.
Yes.
I can see that.
True. I was thinking more Rosemary's Baby, but
I was too as I was watching it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The problem we have here is people who are writing horror now have got it, or particularly these types of movies, The Witch, it follows.
Mm-hmm.
They go into these things trying to be sort of like you said, this thought-provoking, like, I'm not going to go the stalk and slash or the bump in the night kind of thing.
Right.
I'm just going to let this thing slowly burn itself into what it's supposed to be. And one of the issues I strongly had was just the family dynamic.
Yeah.
And just death is happening. And it took a while before, after the daughter died. Like, I had a whole problem with that whole sequence altogether.
Mm-hmm.
The daughter gets killed. The son says nothing. I was never introduced to this family in a level where I would go, okay, I could get why you wouldn't want to say something.
Interesting.
But you went to bed.
Oh,
with
totally
that
got it.
Image and as we start to get further into the movie and the explanation, because here's the other problem. When I go back to The Exorcist, there is a moment where they are convinced now. Father Karras has convinced them that an exorcism needs to be had.
Yes.
And they said, well, he needs someone with him that has experience. Mm-hmm. And they mentioned Mirren. And we are given this sort of a couple of sentences about, you sure you want to send him after what happened to him?
Right.
This, that, the other thing. With this, what was happening was thrown onto the screen as something I needed to read. And I'm thinking, if I was not paying attention, or I nodded off at some point in this film, I would have lost that whole chunk. Like, that's not something, that reveal should not have been something I needed to read on the screen. Mm-hmm. Because I didn't have enough time to process. Because, like, I got it, and I was like, wait, what? But, and then it took me a minute to put two and two together and go, oh, okay, now I see what they're trying to do. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if the writer-director was trying to be intellectual about this. I don't know if he suddenly realized when he got to the money portion of it. Because for whatever reason now, and this is just me, you want to do a demonic possession movie, please stop making people float. Let's
or if you're gonna do it sporadically. At
one point, it's like the next 10-15 minutes. Like, I give him credit for atmosphere.
Yeah.
Because there was one point when she was on the ceiling.
Yes.
When he first woke up in the room, and I was like, wait, is that somebody on the wall?
Yeah.
And then she just kind of like crawled out.
No, that was fucked up.
And I was like, oh shit.
That was one of the scenes that I was like, well done.
That was, but my thing was...
That and the him sleeping in the hands around his head, that was another one that was like, well done.
But the whole thing with the, again, Rosemary's Baby, the whole quirky neighbor, you know?
Yeah, thank you.
And I was like, all right, so let me get
We've seen it a million times.
Let me get this straight. A medium came to your house, showed you this, and all of a sudden, I bring you into my home. I think the first question I would say before you start to light the candle, shouldn't we get the medium to come here?
Yeah, should we have a professional? And like,
should we have a professional do this?
Like, someone's at least done it, I don't know, once.
It's like, all right, so let me get this straight. We're going to have a seance. You took like a correspondence course.
But now
we're going to start talking to dead people.
Meanwhile, I
want to go home.
You know a professor. Let's call the professor. You guys can work together. Yeah, no, that... I will say that the son thing, I actually loved it. I loved his reaction to that because that made complete sense to me.
Yeah. Like, no.
I mean, like, that scene that you're like saying that you don't understand why he reacted that way, why he went home in silence. I'm saying that completely made sense to me. Like, that
he did.
Yeah, that completely made sense to me. Like, just,
really?
Because I mean, I don't know if you guys have ever been in such complete shock about something. Like, complete and utter shock that you were just struck dumb. Mm. I have been.
Okay.
And in that scene, like, when you just see that shot of the car, the one light pole, and just the darkness, and it's just stopped, and then just slowly starts driving off, I was like, oh my God, bendito, he is in complete shock. He's not going to say anything to anybody. He's just going to go to sleep and just pretend and hope he's just dead. He's going to hope he wakes up dead the next day. And he just went to bed, did it. And when the mom screamed the next day, I was like, y'all, someone that wrote this movie has gone through some real big shock because I've been there, and that completely read as realistic to me. I mean, just in terms of what I would think would happen in that scenario. I've never been in that scenario, obviously.
Obviously.
And hopefully never
will. I mean, for me, that scene in particular, the only thing, and this is silly of me, I realize, but the only thing that I could actually kind of grasp onto outside of that scene itself was Boys in the Hood, when they're bringing Morris Chestnut's character back home in a car. Mm-hmm. Completely different kind of thing. Of course, it's broad daylight.
Right.
He's very dead. It's very out in the open.
Yeah, everybody knows.
And of course, there's the obligatory, oh, not my baby! So, to me, it was, that was really the only thing I had to compare that to. You drive home with your dead sibling, you pull the car up, and, you know, of course, in Hereditary, the parents are asleep, the whole thing.
I can honestly say I was, I just kind of said, well, other families do shit differently. And I just kind of, and I just kind of rolled with it while I was watching that scene. Cause, for me, I can imagine, and I'll just come out and say it. I can imagine a black family, that whole thing being a lot different. But yeah. You go to bed and you somebody just let woke you your, up. And let no, you your mother.
Home. You wouldn't have gone home.
More than likely. More than likely. I would have just went straight to the police station.
Yeah, just like, I'm dying. Never going home. I can't ever see anyone I know ever again.
Because, you know, the average black mother, you let her go ahead and see some shit like that, you going to wake up getting your ass whipped.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is there any, like, what is the best case scenario?
I mean, there is.
I mean,
how do you even say that? Mom, dad,
my,
look in the back seat. It was, we got a surprise.
It wasn't even.
I don't know how you say
this. I think the whole thing, it was just everything that happened. We have this moment. He went into shock, went to bed, they found the thing. And then for whatever godforsaken reason, I'm sitting there, I'm like, is nobody going to say something? Like, next thing you know, 2 or 3 days later, he's back in school.
Yeah.
Like, and it's almost like it never happened. And I'm like, am I missing
this
something
family
here?
Is just repress it.
That numb?
Yes.
That.
I guess. And then the other thing that surprised me about that is then the other kids in the school are acting like everything's
like,
cool.
Yeah.
Like nothing happened.
That's the thing that surprised me. Because it's like, they all knew about this shit. You telling me that hasn't been like a special, like a presentation that the principal called everybody in, like, okay, guys, we have to be sensitive to this kid because there was a death in our school. That happened in my school all the time. Mm. Not all the time, but whenever there was a death,
whenever you killed somebody.
Exactly. Yeah. Whenever I killed somebody, there was an announcement.
There was an announcement.
So that's what I'm saying. There needs to be an announcement here. And it was just really weird that nobody reacted. I also noticed that. Like, the parents, I understood, because the parents obviously were just fucked. They were so wacko that they, I can believe them being completely numb. But yeah, everybody else in the rest of the world just
yeah,
because
normally when somebody gets, somebody is injured to the point where you don't want the body to be seen by the family, you don't let the family see the body.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like the police come make an announcement or let you know what's going on or whatever. It's like, well, where can I see? Well, you know, you may actually want to hold off.
Yeah.
You know, we'll make sure we can identify the body. It's definitely them and all that, but you know, as for the overall, you know, ID the body, yes, but you know, to see it like that, it's like nobody lets anybody do that.
Yeah.
You know, so that was that whole thing was kind of nuts. But I mean, for me, it, I think the messed up part about it with me, of course, was that I already knew about what was going to happen to the little girl.
Oh, you did.
Oh well. You know, unfortunately, in the circles I travel, you know, people are just telling me stuff. And it's like, because, I mean, you know, to speak to your point about the hype, I tend to not believe hype.
Neither do I normally.
You know,
and
so,
now I've learned my lesson yet again.
You know, so the thing was, I was like, yeah, I do like Toni Collette. Mm-hmm. And something I have to say about
and
her
Gabriel,
in a second.
I mean, for me,
and Gabriel Byrne, yeah, definitely. Very competent.
Yeah.
Super competent actors. But for me, you know, if somebody hypes up, especially a horror movie, because it's like, I really don't feel like being disappointed. Yeah. So if it's too much like, oh man, you gotta see this, yo, it's this, and I'm usually like, eh, because, you know, it doesn't live up to it.
Mm-hmm.
It very seldom does the movie look, especially for me.
Yeah.
So, I was not going to see it. And then somebody kind of talked me into it and whatever. And the thing about it is, you know, to your point earlier, there are, and I know I throw this around a lot, but there are definitely flashes of brilliance in this movie.
Oh, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Definitely flashes of brilliance. And
definitely.
One of them in particular was Toni Collette's overall performance.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought.
The performances in mm-hmm. general, I thought were very well done. Toni Collette was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Right.
She carried the movie, honestly.
Yeah.
She was the only thing that kept me interested in the actual film.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely. I would say the overall situation build, and it is the only thing that's really super problematic.
Yeah.
You know, just to speak to everything that you
guys
brought up.
I would also say the premise
up.
that launched the whole thing with the daughter. Because, I mean, nothing. I mean, maybe I'm a snob because I'm around my friends who have babies now, but I'm sorry. If my teenage kid was going to go to a party, I've been a teenager before. Guess what? There's alcohol at this party. It doesn't even matter if they say there's not. There's alcohol at this party. Yeah. What? Why are you going to tell my teenage son, my 16, 17-year-old son, take your 12-year-old sister to this house party where you're clearly going to never be intoxicated and you're going to watch out for her no matter what? Like, that whole scene, I was like, this makes no sense. No parent would do that. Like, unless you are just so... just out to lunch in general. There's no... And she didn't. She wasn't like that at that part of the movie yet. So I was like, this whole premise, something bad's going to happen. And they needed to set up that the daughter went with the son. But this was stupid. This doesn't make any sense. No parent would do that. I just couldn't see it.
You know, there are oftentimes I wonder, in particularly in the writing portion of a lot of these things, whether the story was intending to go in one direction and they shot it. And then somewhere along the line, somebody said, wait a minute, where are you going? What direction are you going? Yeah, you can't.
Yeah.
You can't. I bring, and I got to say this, because I brought this up before. It follows.
Mm. Yeah.
And I've had my tussles with people who think that it's one of the best horror films made. I said, but think about this. There's a thing chasing you. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Monday through Friday. Your ass should be tired as hell.
Constantly.
From lack of sleep.
Yep.
But what you told us in the beginning was that when it comes for you, and at one point, the damn thing is beating up all of the friends to get... And I'm like, so this thing can actually...
Interact
with other people. Physical things other than the thing it's concentrating on. Somewhere you must have, when you were writing this, you did the George Lucas and you forgot what you said over here, right? So
big rule change.
So
at the end
all
of the
a
movie,
sudden,
yeah.
So you just hope nobody notices it. So at some point in the film, I started to think, well, maybe she did that on purpose to get this whole ball rolling, because then at some point I was confused as to how much she knew. How much she didn't know, and how much had been repressed by these other people, so that she wouldn't, like, so that she could not resist.
Right. Well, I think there is some, there's something to that, because there was, like, this blue light that every so often would shine on people, and when those things happened, supernatural things were sort of occurring.
Mm-hmm.
So I do think that there was a sense of, she was being led to do these things. It just wasn't very... It wasn't obvious. It's basically sounds like me just trying to fix the problem.
Mm-hmm.
It almost feels like that. Like, it wasn't obvious enough that I could be like, oh, well, that was caused because she was under control, blah, 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 blah. I have nothing to say. Because
at one point, that the whole thing with the book threw me for a loop. Because when he threw it in the fire, and I was like, wait, what the...
Wait, what
rule change just happened? Because I thought it was linked to her.
No, that was all the magic of the grandmother.
And I'm like, okay, all right, you know what? And at that point, I was like, all right.
Yeah, nothing made sense. At the end, nothing made sense anymore.
So now I got it. So the whole point was that this thing that you guys were trying to resurrect
needed
a male host to exist in.
And it was in the girl. It was in the daughter.
It had to get out of the daughter. That's why the mother, grandmother, loved her so much.
Right.
That's why you're drawing, making miniatures of your mother breastfeeding your daughter.
Right.
Okay, now that makes sense. So, but the thing that then pops up is that, but according to mom, she tried to snuff this life out. She tried to terminate her son's birth.
She wanted to terminate it. But the mom made that she kept him alive.
So now the question is, somewhere along the line, how much of this did you know? And how much of this because you're not giving us a full backstory. Because see, that's the art of all of this with horror films and even in certain sci-fi circles. If I don't give you enough backstory, mm-hmm. I can do whatever I want with the with what's in front of you.
True.
Because there's nothing for me to fall back on.
Right.
But if I start this story off with the grandmother before she dies.
Yeah.
Then that alters the bullshit I'm going to try to pull over your eyes going forward, because now you have
a frame of reference.
We have a point of reference. I mean, I knew something funky was up with the design. I was like, y'all are part of a cult or
The moment it was about the grandmother and, you know, oh, you know, she left some, like, vague words about, like, oh, this will all make sense in the end. That was like, witches. Fucking coven of witches. And now it's a thing that they're waiting for a certain baby to be born for some stupid reason. Oh, it's a demon. Okay. The demon needs a male host. Well, there you go.
Yeah, there you have it. speaking of witches... Seems that
the production company. I like how he's whisked
to me with that. Oh no! Not like that. No, just that you said the word witches. I know. But same company that made the movie Witches, the one with the double V.
Uh huh.
Same company. So then here's the question: are those movies connected? Witches? Is that the same coven?
Oh,
is what I'm asking.
Witches? I don't know what that movie is.
You didn't see The Witch?
The Witch, right? Sorry.
The one that everybody was raving about last year.
Oh,
that
yes,
took place
yes,
in 1800
yes, yes.
or something
I
like that.
I did see that. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Same. So, because the reason I brought it up, same company, same sort of independent kind of style. If you think about it, a lot of the shooting style is very similar.
That'd be interesting.
So that kind of random thought.
Yeah,
that'd be interesting.
I'd have to see it again to like see maybe if they put like little Easter eggs of the witch.
Yeah.
Into this one, that'd be really cool if there was like that kind of like little subtext going on.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I thought about doing. Yeah. So interesting thing, even though big star power involved, $14 million to make, they've already hit. Like past the 40 million mark, so it's making its money.
It made its money.
Horror movies always seem to even if they skirt by and make just that little bit of money back.
I mean, what was the set? It was a house. They just needed to rent out a house and shoot there and like a road.
Some driving.
It was a house
around.
And a road. Yeah, that was basically the entirety of the movie.
It's we have to see where the modern horror story is going. Mm-hmm. Because I think now I think a lot of these movies now want to get away from the gore and the splatter. And they want to they want to concentrate on some kind of context.
Right.
To draw people in. The question now is, do people have the patience for that?
Yeah, that's tough because...
I mean, we're not a generation that likes to sit...
No,
they
we're
will
not. We've
if you
been
give
conditioned
them a reason to. If you give them characters that are engaging, that just following them in their story, doesn't have to be a lot of action. I just have to like this character and feel like I want to see where their story goes. If you actually take the time to invest in create a character like that, that'll be enough. But the thing is that a lot of movies are very much like... Okay, we have this plot. We don't care about the characters. We're just going to put in this, you know, archetypes here and there and whatever. And, you know, this person will die here. This person will die there. It's very cookie cutter. Mm-hmm. That's why no one's making money, because nothing has any substance. It's all done by the books, by the numbers. And there's no real thought given to anything anymore. At least that's how I feel. But I still feel like there's you can make a very intelligent horror movie as long as it's engaging. Like, I look at 28 Days Later, and I know that's not exactly a slow-paced horror movie, but when it came out... Like, you had things that, like the fast-running zombies and everything. And then suddenly, this movie comes out where it's a slow-paced horror movie again. At least it felt like a slow-paced horror movie again. Mm-hmm. And it was engaging because for the first time, you actually were on a road with these characters that you're just like, oh, shit, I like this guy. I'm going to follow him. Even though this is a slow-ass movie, I'm going to follow this dude. And it was really good. Mm-hmm. So you just have to give it time and actually make some craft with it. But I think that we could definitely do it. It's just that nowadays, just how quick can we get shit out?
Yeah, you know? I mean, and to your point, I mean, Hitchcock, a lot of his stuff slow burns.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think it's how you do it. It's like there's a certain techniques that, you know, if you shoot the movie correctly, you can kind of play on someone's natural sort of way of feeling claustrophobic.
Mm-hmm.
If you manipulate the film a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, engaging characters. And just doing certain things properly, I think that would help. But when you just try to rely too much on, like, atmosphere with, like, a few firecrackers here and there in the middle of the scene or what have you, it does. It does just kind of just meander, and then there you are. Two hours of your life, gone.
Like, recently I just saw the movie Flatliners that just came out. Now, I saw the original. I'm old enough... that I actually went to the theaters to see the original. I was a little kid. I don't know why my parents took me to see the original. But they did.
No.
Mm-hmm. They took me, and I saw that horrific movie.
I watched.
And then I watched the new one, and just looking at it, and it, like, that crystallized it for me. It was like, you took the story that it was actually, that actually was a horror movie. It was thought-provoking. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even, like, it wasn't even high gore. There was definitely suspense. There were thrills.
Yes.
But it was mostly psychological, mostly just, like, jump scares. But it was done in such a way that was actually... It's still scary to this day. If someone who has never watched it watches it now, I guarantee they will be scared by it. This new movie, it was so just watered down. It was so, like, by the numbers. So, like, you guys took this great story and just... I don't know. You just made it trivial.
Right.
But you know? What the, you know what the problem with this is? Is we are old enough to remember the original. And what I'm starting to see is when the retelling of an old story of something that we all grew up on ends up in that formula, it's because they're relying on us.
Yes.
To go, okay, I know this story.
Flatliners, that's a good movie.
I don't really need to go down that road again. Mm-hmm. I know what this is all about. People who are going to see it now are really going to see it for more of the star power than they are. Because if you think about who was in the original Flatliner.
Yes. Julia Roberts.
Like, and all of them people were A-list actors. Yeah. That was like, and they were young when they did that movie.
Yes.
So many of us went to see it. I was a Kiefer Sutherland fanatic. So I went to
Lost
see
Boys.
It for Kiefer. Lost Boys, yeah. Kevin Bacon. I mean, what wasn't Kevin Bacon in?
But
you're right. The story that drove
but that story,
what was happening
yeah,
to
it
them.
It was more interesting than the story that
was,
they
was,
it down to now.
And I want to say, looking back at that, that movie got away from the execs. I think the execs were like, wow, we got all these great actors in this movie. Oh, we're going to make our money back.
What's this movie about again?
And nobody bothered to like, and the guy with the screenplay was like, shh, 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 just keep moving, just
no,
keep,
no one tell
just
us
keep
about.
Shooting. And people, and you walk away from it like,
that's a good point. Mm-hmm. That's a real good point. The only thing I would add to that is, and it's a very unfortunate thing, it's that nowadays we choose our actors, like the people that are our actors now, are chosen differently. Like, think back in the day. Let's random movie I'll just throw out, The Poseidon Adventure.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Not everybody is model runway attractive in the fucking Poseidon Adventure.
No. And the ones that are die.
Ding. Now. Fast forward to now, to that point, a lot of those people trained thesbians also had all kinds of different backgrounds, musically mm-hmm. speaking, mm-hmm. just all kinds of stuff that made them who they are, that made them the solid performer that they are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as we are picking from trained actors, but also pulling in wrestlers, YouTube sensations mm-hmm. and all these other fluffy people, and nobody's Ernest Borgnine anymore.
No.
Nobody's unattractive anymore.
Mm-mm.
Nobody's allowed to be. Everybody's got six packs and big asses and the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Everybody's picture ready.
Yeah.
But inside, they don't have what it takes to sell the same fucking thing from 30 years ago.
No. Well, people go to the movies for different reasons then.
True.
Then they, now, come on. I remember when it came on TV, but when The Towering Inferno came out, people were like beating each other over the head to go see Steve McQueen and who was the other one? Paul Newman.
To the point
where they had to have an argument over whose name was going to get top billing. Yeah. So they designed the credits so that one's name is slightly higher.
Did they?
Than the, yes.
I thought they were together.
No. They're like one name is slightly higher than the other. I think it's Newman.
I think it's Newman. My mom hated
but,
that then.
But
she loves Steve McQueen.
But then you have Skyscraper, where it's The Rock. Now, from what I hear,
it's Dwayne Johnson.
I'm sorry. From what I hear, the movie isn't god awful, but
just regular
at
awful.
But at the same time, it's a retelling of The Towering Inferno with one man.
Is it seriously?
Basically, the only thing they added into this was that
the family
was that somebody took his family.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that Family Guy bit that I loved, where they were like, now next up a movie featuring Harrison Ford where somebody took his family, and it's him running around, give me back my family. I want my family. Give me back my family. Who took my family? And I'm like, oh my God. But that's the old 80s.
Yeah.
That's the old 80s thing where it was like all through the 80s somebody's family got kidnapped or
just Liam Neeson
or Brian Boswick, who happened to be in the shower when they took over Beverly Hills and they missed him, and I'm like, oh, so that's how that happened. Or you know, you're the one lone cop from New York that somehow knows how to make his way through Nakatomi Plaza
in the air vents
with no shoes on. You should have bled to death. But apparently, I don't think that first thing
when they shoot the glass, you know, and then he's crawling into the
You should have bled to death. You're right.
Like, they the thing is, I think they just overdid the blood. You know, like if they had just had a regular trail, we probably wouldn't be thinking that. But the blood was
just
damn near
gore.
Black.
Yeah.
When he like dragged,
it's like that's
like,
intestine
okay.
blood.
Right.
Right. Like,
right.
That's like, some inside blood right there coming
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
I'm like, what great detective?
Why did the props master think that was okay? Like,
it's like I just got this leftover.
Yeah, exactly. He's like, look, man, we paid for this.
You said more blood, okay? No, you got more blood. That's what it said.
But I mean, it's we. I think if we look at the evolution of what drove us to go to movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, growing up horror, I think as kids, we knew horror. Like, you know, we grew up, I always say this, Friday the 13th, the first four, will always be my favorite in terms of the slasher flick.
Yeah. Sure.
After that, it was obviously clear somebody was like, we're making a lot of money off this. Let's just see how far we can beat this horse before it goes out.
Absolutely.
To the point where I had to laugh at
like
my brother.
20 years you can beat that horse. Apparently.
Where I had to laugh with my brother where he told me one time, he said he was going to see the new Jason film because he wanted to know why he dropped his slave name. Jason X.
Jason X.
That's so lame. we're ten movies in. I'm like, how far are we going to drag this out?
Space.
He's been in space?
Space.
He was in space?
We didn't land on Crystal Lake. Crystal Lake landed on us.
I mean, it's to the point where you just like, my man, how far we, like, you know. That's like, but think about.
Basically, that's a hold my beer statement. Don't ever ask that question.
All of the films that started out and could have gone to bed fine and we not bleed it to death, but someone somewhere was like the, I'm sorry, the first Child's Play, we could have ended it with that.
Honestly, we could have.
But that was just a fun movie. Yeah.
Yes.
That was just literally that. Like, those were those movies that you went to seeing.
Not you're the little kid with the fucking doll collection.
But
just saying.
With the My Buddy doll, you mean?
I know.
In his corner. But
and
then,
kid sister.
But then,
friends did it in.
But then all of a sudden, this son of a bitch just keeps coming back.
He had a wife.
And he had a wife. He had kids. I'm like,
Jennifer Tilly, no less.
I'm like,
and
then what's crazy?
I mean, I wasn't mad,
right?
But
not gonna be mad at it.
But then what's crazy is that if you see the most recent one they did, they actually went back to the fear factor.
Oh.
Of that, and I thought it was a pretty decent, like, because I had like given up after.
I mean, there's only so many times you can be scared of a doll.
But now we got a reason why he's doing, like, before it was, you know, I got to find Andy because if I don't jump out of the body.
Yes, I need him.
You know,
he's the only one who I can possibly possess.
Yeah, the person you first reveal yourself to is what it was.
Yeah,
and then,
that's right.
And then we, you know, Freddy beat that.
Let me say, since I just was like, there's only so many times you can be scared of a doll. Puppet Master. That shit scared the hell out of me. Why hasn't that come back? I would really enjoy.
There's like 5-6 Puppet Master movies.
Now? Like,
yeah,
there
go on
DVD.
No, you mean like.
I know
in
that
the
they
last...
were.
Oh.
But I mean, like, we're bringing back Chucky. Bring back friggin' Puppet Master. I would have loved to see that shit come back.
Mm.
With modern day effects.
Puppet Master. All right.
I'd rather that than see Chucky anymore.
I know. You know what I'd like? Give me another Critters movie.
Okay.
I liked Critters.
All right, maybe.
Critters.
Maybe.
Yeah, the Crites.
All right, I remember Critters.
That's up there with Tremors for me. I don't know if I'd want Tremors.
Well, Tremors, Tremors is like,
that's paying Michael Gross's rent, basically. That man has been in every single
lower
one.
And lower.
And yeah. He is not.
What's next, Leprechaun?
They went. Leprechaun went into the hood,
yeah,
and he went into space.
And then it. He went into space?
Yes!
Oh, I missed that one.
I didn't see that.
I thought it, like, ended at the hood.
No, he went into space. Yeah, I was done.
Space. How does it even work?
Space.
There's no rainbows. He can't get back home. There's no rainbows in space.
There's no gold in space.
There's no gold. There's nothing in space. That makes no sense. That makes no sense than Jason.
You know what? The only reason half of the time I went to see half of the, because I had to see. Like, I could have walked out after I got the answer to my question.
Yeah, we're not judging you for this.
Okay.
Yeah, we're not judging.
Okay. No. I'm just fan. I'm saying as an overall, like, Friday the 13th, Jason Lives. Oh, I got to see how this. Oh, struck by lightning. Okay, I'm good. And walk right out of the theater and not. Because the rest of the movie's
predictable.
You know,
there are websites that give you spoilers now for that kind of stuff. You ain't got to spend the money.
He likes the Leprechaun franchise.
I didn't,
that's
I,
all.
I
There's
actually
wrong
did not
with
see
it.
The Leprechaun movie.
I meant for Jason.
Well, Jason.
I'll admit that I'm pretty sure I've seen all of the Tremors movies.
You seen the most
not
recent
in
one?
The theater.
No,
you saw the most.
Like
recent
I don't
one?
Think they make it to the theater.
I don't think
to be
they
honest,
either anymore.
What is the
Where
most
the
recent
Arctic?
One in the Arctic? Oh yeah,
yeah.
I saw that. Oh yeah, I saw that. I was less pleased with the South Africa trip, to be honest. I was not happy with that at all.
Well, what is killing me is that Michael Gross seemed to be the only one that keeps coming back. Reba McEntire didn't come back, but she got her own TV show.
Right.
So she...
Reba McEntire has other shit to do. Honestly, they probably didn't ask Reba McEntire.
Probably not.
Kevin Bacon never came back.
Would Kevin Bacon come back?
Kevin Bacon's
but didn't
got
what's his name
that
come
would
back?
Blow, that would blow their whole fucking digital budget.
What's his name did come back, though? The one that was his friend. Did he come back from one of those movies?
Oh, the dude with the mustache?
Yeah, he stuck his head in there for
yeah,
a minute.
Yeah, he's in one. He's in one. I think he's in the second one.
Yeah, he's kind of
I think he's in the second
he,
one.
He ducked
yeah,
it
yeah, yeah, exactly.
And then he went right back out.
I think he was
out.
In the next one. But yeah, Michael Gross, he, you know, that's his franchise.
Yeah, like.
They've spread that shit out so far that the one in the Arctic features a young lady who's supposed to be Kevin Bacon's daughter.
Oh.
That's how far they stretch that shit. It's like, and he's like, well, how do you know me? It's like, I'm Val's kid. And they go into this whole big thing, and it's like, that's cute. And of course, she doesn't die. And, you know, it's adorable. It is what it is, you know.
The state of horror films today.
Well, hey, you know.
It's dark.
People do get killed pretty grisly in those Tremors mm-hmm. movies, though.
I mean,
Dracula, so if that's what you're into,
Dracula just keeps coming back.
Well, he's supposed to.
He's just
a fucking staple. I would prefer the shit be done correctly. Of course.
I mean, that's why that's probably one of my favorite Buffy episodes when Dracula showed up, and she like killed him like 10 times, and she's like, don't you dare, and just the mist just get. He saw the form. She's like, you know, I see you, right? I'm like. Okay, yeah, and then I got things to do.
Speaking of, how do we feel about the new show coming out?
What show?
What, Interview?
The Interview?
No, they're making a new Buffy.
Oh,
that's
I
right.
I thought you meant another Dracula. I'm like,
no.
So
sorry.
There's so much stuff going on now.
Because what's his name? I was like, that one just ended.
Which one?
The one the actor that she's... What did you call him? What's his name? You had a...
I have no idea what you're talking about.
The Tudors.
Oh, John...
Jonathan Rhys-Meyers.
Yeah.
Rhys-Meyers, yes.
Didn't you have like something bad to say about him or something at one point?
No, I love Jonathan Rhys-Meyers, except when he was in The Tudors, because that was just wrong.
Okay. Because Ken Henry VIII is supposed to be a fat motherfucker, right?
Yeah, fat, disgusting, and this was like a sexy, like, shit, I would have slept with Henry VIII if that was the case. No, you shouldn't want to. He ended up dying fat, so fat that they couldn't carry his casket. He literally fell out of his casket because they had to drop him. So, yeah, no, Jonathan Rhys-Meyers was not right for that
role. Shoddy English craftsmanship.
Then maybe that's what it was you said about
That was my only thing. Otherwise, I love Jonathan Rhys-Meyers. He's a beautiful little man.
His Dracula just... came and went.
No, because his drug addiction.
That's right.
Came
that's
and didn't.
Went. And didn't go.
And you know that was the problem. He basically threw the show off of off the rails.
So no thoughts about Buffy.
Who's playing Buffy?
It's a sister.
It's I don't know who the actress is, but I know that it's a black Buffy now.
Oh.
And it's a continuation of the story. At first they were talking about reboot, and a bunch of people got all up in arms.
Way up in arms.
Because, you know, why are you going to redo the whole thing instead of continuing it out? Yeah.
So they're going to explain how she became a sister?
It's not the same Buffy.
Not the same Buffy.
Okay, so it's a different Buffy. No, because you said they're continuing the story, so I'm thinking...
Continuing the story that's been established in Buffy the Vampire Slayer with that universe.
But it's
that
a
world.
New Slayer, and it's, the Slayer is...
All right. Okay. No, I thought she was saying,
I don't know
like,
if she's named Buffy. I
thought she was
people,
saying...
There were people up in arms for
I
a whole nother reason if
say,
that was the case.
Like, she died and Giles transported her into somebody else or something like that.
I mean, I'm not writing the story, so I don't know, but I'm going to put my money down and bet that's not the case.
Okay. All right,
apparently I'm the only one that's excited about new Buffy. That's fine. I grew up watching the old Buffy. Fantastic show. Looking forward to the new one.
I watch it too, and yes, I enjoy it. I want to see what they do. I want to see, you know, I'm kind of on the... because of all the stuff we just talked about, I'm on the fence about all remakes and reboots and
reboots
everything.
I'm
so,
just old and jaded.
Exactly.
You old. I ain't...
Well, whatever.
I'm just jaded.
Why said end?
Fine.
Oh, great.
Doesn't mean I'm not going to give it a chance, but I'd actually like to see the motherfucker first before I actually say, oh, this is dope, this is great, this, oh, yes, yes. No, I'm going to wait till I actually
see it. I'm looking forward to it.
I'm going to wait till I actually see it, and then I will pass judgment, that's all.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
But, you know, there's that. There's Interview with a Vampire is apparently becoming a series.
Mm-hmm.
I'm waiting until I actually
Rice
see something.
And Rice is fucking crazy, so...
Well...
We'll see what she comes up with.
She came up with Lestat back in the 70s. Of course she's fucking crazy.
In the 70s.
So, there you go. There you go. Can't be mad.
I'm not mad. I'm just thinking that it's gonna get ruined. If it's actually legit to the book, I'm totally down with that shit. I love Lestat. I love the Queen of the Damned. I loved all those books, so go for it. But if it's gonna end up like the movie Queen of the Damned, please just spare us all and just cancel it right now, because I don't even need that kind of disappointment in my life.
Gotcha. Gotcha, gotcha, gotcha. I did enjoy the music.
Fantastic soundtrack. Fantastic soundtrack.
Do want to say that. Do want to point that out. And also, does anybody know how to... maybe folks at home can help us with this one. I'm trying to find Because you can get the soundtrack, but you can't get the songs that Jonathan Davis from Korn sang in lieu of, you know, Stuart Copeland not being a singer.
I thought they were on the soundtrack itself.
I don't think so. Because I've been on iTunes and and they're not there. And I'm very disappointed. But anyway. Yeah, so if anybody got any suggestions about that, hook a brother up. Because, you know, I'm just saying. I would actually like those.
Yeah. If I hear anything, I'll let you know.
I appreciate that. So, yeah. Got interview. Buffy. As a you know.
Want to talk about those trailers?
oh, yeah. Let's talk trailers. Please.
I got to ask her this. This has been biting at the... What did you think of the Shazam trailer? Because the thing is... I'm gonna go out there. I read comic books as a child.
Yeah.
I wasn't a collector. Mm-hmm. It wasn't something I ran to the store and done.
Right.
I don't ever recall Shazam acting like 10-year-old Billy Batson. And so yeah. I'm confused. Like when I saw the trailer, I was like, "Is this supposed to be a joke or y'all?"
It's like big. They basically made it like big, and yeah, that's partly
my
issue with the trailer, because like, and I could be wrong about this because I've never been a big DC person when I was younger, reading comics and everything, so I never really got big into Shazam, and so what I know is that yeah, when Billy Baxter, you know, says the words and you know changes.
Mm-hmm.
In that moment, he is now an adult, and he has the intelligence of an adult. Like, he's still a little bit... I guess he's not supposed to be fully an adult, but he's always been represented like that. He's always smarter.
Right.
He's never the same intelligence as a
The spirit of Shazam is him. So it's
not just the body. Him. Now they've just made it like, now you're basically big.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not sure how I feel about that, because it makes it look like much more of a comedy, which is fine. DC needs a comedy. Good on them for finally doing it, but
I mean,
I'm not really sure if this is the one to do it with.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that. I mean, especially if... And they've already addressed this in the cartoons,
because
I've seen one recently where they're... And the scene is they're all at the Justice League table, and they've just realized that Shazam's alter ego is a 10-year-old.
Right.
And they're all kind of alarmed. And they're scolding Batman a little bit because apparently he knew. And it's like an awkward little thing. And I guess that's their way of... they're probably doing this. You know, because again, it's like the whole relating to the younger crowd, younger viewers, bring people in any way they can.
Right.
You know, because as the characters have matured, and it's like across Marvel and DC, you know, the whole thing happened when, you know, like Spider-Man, you know, finally got out of school, got married, and, you know, kind of did his thing. And then you know, there's all this exploration of what happens to Batman when he's older.
Right.
There's, I imagine that there might be a bit of panic mode at both Marvel and DC in terms of how do we hook in the kids? How do we do this? How do we do that? And, in terms of just reaching the younger viewers, because of course with the superheroes, you may admire them for the fight scenes and all that other shit, but then in the setup, everybody's doing their adult thing.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they got jobs. So they almost look more like your parents than they do, you know, somebody that, you know, you can aspire to and like, throw in the costume or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, which, of course, was always the appeal of Spider-Man, the fact that he was a kid back in the day. So maybe that's what they're thinking as far as Shazam goes. And in that respect, you know, maybe it's, you know, not necessarily something we want to go see.
Yeah.
I mean,
we're gonna go. We're gonna end up seeing it anyway, because that's who we are.
Uh-huh. I don't know if I'm gonna go to the theaters to see it, but
right.
Well, we'll see.
I mean, because unless the casting changed,
And what happened with The Rock?
The Rock was supposed to be Black Adam.
He's supposed to be Black Adam, but I think they're doing that for number two.
So it's for the second film. So this is just the setup.
I mean, then again, I haven't heard.
I haven't heard. So that's just. But I mean, but
I
then.
Really hope he's not.
But then that would make sense. In a funky way, that would make sense to have a wrestler, a former wrestler who kids love.
Yeah.
Battling a kid who can turn himself into somebody just like him to fight. That
bother me. Because he's gonna look so much better in the outfit than the dude does. You can tell it's a muscle suit. Like,
yeah.
His neck in relationship to the shoulders. Mm-hmm. I'm like, your neck needs to be like at least 2 inches thicker, motherfucker. Mm. There is no way that you have shoulders like that and you haven't worked out any of this. And it just looks like he's wearing a muscle suit. Like, I can't get past it.
God makes symmetrical. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right.
I just can't. And I know I'm gonna see The Rock and I'm gonna be like, I believe you're Black Adam. Mm-hmm. That is a kid in cosplay.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's going to bother me.
Mm-hmm. But that's a good point, though. I like that whole, I'm going to fight The Rock.
Yeah, because that makes sense in terms of what they're actually doing. If that's from the bean counters thinking that. I always have to remember that there are two sides to this coin.
Right.
There's the guys that actually want to make this movie because they love this character, mm-hmm. and then there's the guys that are like, but
we gotta make it money.
We gotta make this money.
They're the same people that brought you Venom. The old one in
I don't even know
Amazing Spider-Man 3, and the one that's about to be brought to us.
And now that
at least he looks good.
It wasn't as bad as that other Venom.
I'm just gonna believe in it for eye candy. Point.
Okay.
Well, you know,
that's fair.
Until Disney buys Sony.
That's right. It's Sony.
Yeah, it's still Sony.
That's right.
I was thinking it was part of the Fox deal. Oh.
No, well, Fox.
So they, Sony is the last holdout.
And you know what's crazy is that I'm sitting there. I was in Forbidden Planet today.
Mm.
And I'm thinking of buying the Infinity War, the thick,
mm-hmm.
the whole thing, because I hadn't read it since it came out when I was young.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going through, like, I took the book off the shelf and I look at the cover, and I'm like, Jesus, Disney just acquired Fantastic Four, they just acquired
X-Men,
they just acquired. I'm like, this is gonna be one of the biggest, and you know. You know, there's one guy in that room that was like, we got all that. And they were like, shut up. We're going to do this right. We're not introducing the Fantastic Four in Infinity War 2. We're not inviting.
I'm having a vision of that woman in the church that's like, we got beans, greens, potatoes.
You did it!
Look! I got Fantastic Four, X-Men, Professor Magneto.
You made it!
Oh my god. Oh,
that's Disney. That's like, they're like, we got all of them.
Which one do you want? Which one do you want? Look at my spread. Look at my spread.
And you know, somebody was like, we still have Spider-Man.
Fuck up.
Not today, Satan.
He's fired.
Somebody take him outside. What was that in Tropic Thunder? Where's the key grip? I want you to go and punch him
as hard as you can. As hard as you can.
And you know why I love that? It's the fact that there's an executive producer that knew what the key grip
was. And knew he'd beat his big ass.
And knew his big ass. Because when he said it, I started down. I was like, oh, Jesus. Because I was
like, what? I just want the biggest one.
So I know that he's like, yeah. I'm sorry about this.
Bam. Oh,
if
wow.
If you didn't know what a key grip was, you knew
you
now.
Do now.
You
know now.
Aquaman.
Again, eye candy. I'm just,
right, who cares?
I sent you guys the thing about how it, like the video of that and Black Panther trailers
Black Panther
together.
Trailer.
Yeah, eye candy. I'm not even looking at this shit for substance. I'm not.
She gonna walk out of the theater. They were underwater.
It's like, I saw some bubbles once in a while, but
you know.
They're just flying. He didn't have a shirt on. That's all I care about. He's never smelled like fucking Ariel. That's all I care about.
That is hysterical.
Oh, Jesus.
A simple girl.
I'm not.
I mean, it looks fun.
Absolutely.
I think that's what we have to relegate all the DC films to.
At this point, I'm going to go see them. Because most of them I'm depressed by. So, if it looks fun, yay.
Oh, shit.
Because it's like, what's his name? It seems like after they did the last Batman movie.
What, Batman versus Superman?
No. What's his name's film? Trilogy.
The
Dark Knight Trilogy.
Yeah.
Seemed like right after Nolan finished that last one, there was some dude, we got this! We know exactly what to do! Wait here! And just, it's like that Bugs Bunny one. Go up there and see if he's still walking around. Okay. Pow! Is he
still there?
And Nolan was like, but you might want to get a screamer. Okay.
Or not.
Christopher Nolan did the best he could. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, he did a good job.
I thought he did a great job.
I mean, granted, the last one wasn't all that great.
I have a theory about the last one.
Wait, what's the last one? What are we talking about?
Dark Knight Rises.
Okay.
Yeah. And what I'm thinking is nobody knew Heath Ledger was going to kill himself. I'm thinking there was a completely different movie on the table,
mm-hmm.
and there was a time frame, and with the unfortunate death of Heath Ledger, you kind of just got what you got. Because I think things with that movie with the Joker is a completely different movie.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's my theory on that.
Well,
and, you know,
I give him, you know, I kind of put him in the same bowl as Sam Raimi. Sam Raimi,
mm-hmm.
you know, Spider-Man 1 and 2.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, and then,
somebody came in and
too many
like,
people got.
I think we know exactly what to do with this next people. One.
No! And then suddenly.
Right.
Somebody.
Problems.
But he said that. He said when we sat down to do Spider-Man, it was just me, the screenwriter, the actors, and a couple of producers. We got to the third one. I had people bringing their kids in telling me what characters they wanted to see. And he's like, I kept sitting there getting ready to do this movie, and you're telling me about Venom. And he's like, Venom has nothing to do with this. But my kid likes him. Okay, but again, this has nothing. Okay, fine. You're writing a check.
That's the problem. A lot of times people cutting the check.
And the Sandman and Green Goblin. Meanwhile, I'm in the back of the theater like, no Hobgoblin? We can't move on to the next Goblin?
Nope.
We got to stay with this guy.
It is only ever Green Goblin. In fact, they're going to bring him back for the new ones, for a new Spider-Man. Green Goblin is always going to be the main antagonist for Spider-Man. I don't know why, but they already have cast who's going to be Green Goblin.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. At least that's what I heard.
It's not Willem Dafoe again?
No, it's not. I think he's too old, finally. Finally.
Actually,
but who knows? Jared Leto is still getting roles.
A while ago. Yeah, he's not as spry
that
as
man,
he used to be.
Yeah. But he still looks it.
Oh, yeah. His performance would, of course, be amazing, but, you know. All right, we got like 2 minutes. Any final thoughts we got here about anything?
No, okay. Not really.
Darren, anything on your mind you want to tell America real quick? Nah. Or Finland? I know they're listening sometimes.
Hi? No, I've got none.
I might go see the Meg.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, I'm going to sneak in and see that one.
Of course
he said
you
he's
are.
Gonna sneak in.
I'm gonna sneak
of
in.
Of course
that.
You are.
Of course
are.
He said he's going to sneak in on the internet. So good luck with that. Hey, real quick. So Mark and I had the pleasure of being a part of this little project right here. I'll bring it a little closer so folks at Facebook can see New York State of Fright.
Yes.
Let's see. So basically, the proceeds from the sales of New York State of Fright will be going to Girls Right Now. It's a organization that mentors young women who want to be writers.
That's awesome.
Mark has a story in it. I have a story in it.
Many of the
other members of the New York chapter of the Horror Writers Association also represent in fine form. Mark and I actually read
at the book
our
launch.
Stories
yeah.
at the book launch. I want to say my story, Nightmare on 34th Street. I think I've read that publicly more than I've read anything else publicly. It's kind of becoming my Living on a Prayer. But, you know, it is what it is. You got to give the people what they want.
That's it.
And that's it. So, I guess we're going to close this out. And, Taryn, thank you for being here, as always. Mark.
Yes.
My main man. Appreciate you.
Yeah.
We're going to close this out. I actually got to close it out here, and then I'm going to say goodbye to you folks over there on Facebook. So, good night.
Bye, audio.